okay, there it is. No, we're not sending you a pony if you ask us. That's not happening.
No free giveaways today.
No. Okay.
Let's look at the next part. Perhaps the spirit has been nudging and calling us to embrace a new imagination.
That's a taste of unraveling. This week's episode of Going Rogue, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. We even sneak in some politics now and again to keep things interesting. So, it's time to strap in and let's see how far you are willing to let Mac and the team stretch you to your edge of thinking differently.
Welcome to Going Rogue, where we unleash the unthinkable to usher in a new renaissance of creativity, spiritual depth, and a shift from me to the we. Hi, I'm Mac, your host, and in this episode, we're going to take brokenness, unraveling, and cracking in our lives and reframe them as possible gifts. I know it's hard to swallow the lemons into lemonade perspective in the midst of some of the awful stuff that can happen in our lives, but hang with us. We're not going to make everything rainbows and unicorns, but our attitudes have a big impact on how circumstances play out in our lives. So, with that teaser, let's strap in. Hey, guys. It's good to see everybody.
Yeah. Good to see you, Mac.
How's it going, Rev?
Hey, Rev and Mac. Yeah. How you doing?
Good, Coach Stu.
Unraveling. Here we go.
Yeah, I got a little pile right down here that, you know. Wow.
I've got a master's degree in unraveling, so let's get going.
Now, before we start unraveling.
Okay.
And talking about cracking in our lives. Yeah. Let me say hello to everybody. Hello, all you beautiful exotic cocktails. We are so happy you're here. And please stay. Don't let the intro scare you away. This is going to be a good conversation. Well worth your while.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well worth your while.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so please comment on Facebook, Instagram, send us emails, go to our cafe. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we want to get your stories, especially after this episode, because yeah, we're going to share some stories. So we want to hear yours as well.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be, the human condition, I think, tonight is what we're going to talk about.
And yep. Absolutely.
Maybe share some unthinkable perspectives
on
it.
It's going to be real. It's going to be raw.
It is. It is. So, guys, where this came from is one of the daily meditations that Richard Rohr sends out.
Yeah.
And this is just an excerpt from one of them.
Yeah, a long time ago, too.
Long time ago, but yeah, wow, it really impacted us, the whole daily meditation. But mm-hmm. I wonder, just start reading a little parts of it so we can go from there.
Right.
So can we acknowledge that unraveling, breaking, and cracking is a bearer of truth and even a gift? Perhaps the spirit has been nudging and calling us to embrace a new imagination, but the other one had to unravel for us to see it for what it was.
Yeah, in this sense, maybe the malaise in our lives has been the work of God. There's an unthinkable thought. Maybe a life humbled by disruption and decline, maybe less arrogant and presumptuous. Maybe we might have fewer illusions about our own power and centrality. We may become curious.
And then when we get curious, maybe we're going to be willing to quit lying and uniting and playing in the systems and the empires, the powers and the programs that have long defined us. We learn something different and new. We may finally admit how much we need the true power and the wisdom of something greater, something holier, a Holy Spirit. We become malleable, and the Spirit can use us and mold us and shape us. That's a spirit and a mindset that God can work with.
Yeah, so, we just, cue the unthinkable. So it's not so unthinkable that we might be broken and we might have issues and we might have problems, that there might be stuff in our lives that is broken. But how we deal with it and how we frame it and how we look at it, maybe we're going to offer you some unthinkable thoughts there, huh?
It's all about consciousness. Are you breaking down or are you breaking open? Or maybe at the greatest place, are you breaking free?
There it is. There's some nuggets. Hello. Teasers.
Start writing down the nuggets. Well, there was an image of this that we kind of discovered that is really interesting. It came from the Japanese. It's called kintsugi. And Kintsugi is the Japanese art of putting broken pottery pieces back together with gold. So, built on the idea that embracing flaws and imperfections, you can create an even stronger, more beautiful piece of art.
More beautiful you.
More beautiful well.
Right.
You. So imagine imagine that, putting yourself back together with gold. That would be fun.
Oh. You know, so many people are defining themselves by all the good stuff that happens. I look back at my life. I'm the man I am today because of the moments where I fell to my knees, where I was broken open. I had to reach for something deeper in me and put myself back together, kind of like a phoenix, into the ashes. Yeah. Out of the ashes, I became more, absolutely more than I ever thought I could be.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's those are the kinds of perspectives for a lot of us are unthinkable because we get all caught up in the downside, if you will, you know, and how those things grip us.
So if something bad is happening, no, look at it. Yeah. Flip your mind, flip a switch in your mind and say, I'm about to become more of me. So let's call it a good thing.
Yeah, let's peel the onion back a little bit more. And we're gonna talk about some of those things tonight.
It's the again, altitude of the attitude.
I think I did a meme on that, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. But, you know, here, you know, I had my glasses on. And if any of you have seen our YouTube channel where we've got the video out there, you know, there was a couple of them. And even in our main cover, you know, I've got my seeing differently glasses on, and I had had them on a little earlier, although it got a little hard to read with them. But for me, the reason I had them on this episode was because, you know, we had done this episode, this subject, this unraveling subject, Stu and I did when we had a podcast several years ago. And it was just so poignant for us that we wanted to do it from this perspective, this new perspective of us going rogue with the Rev in here.
They wanted to invite the crackpot to join them.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. Where's the drum? Drum, right? Yeah. Okay. But, you know, what changed for me, what was unthinkable then maybe for me that I see now is this idea when we talk about unraveling, I sort of see us, you, me, all of us, as a cord of multiple strands. So just kind of picture that in your mind to start with. And, you know, as you go through life, some of those strands, you know, they'll unravel. You know, they will become, you know, worn out. They'll break. They'll whatever. You know, you might wear it against something. But, and then some of them you can repair once they start to unravel. Some maybe can be just trimmed off. Maybe that was something that you needed to shed. Cut it off. Or maybe you can put a new graft on that old one that might be even stronger than the old one, and it supports the whole even better. But what really kind of came to me was that it sort of sets us up, if we look at our life that way, as a process of repair, rejuvenation, resurrection, maybe an enhancement. So that was kind of some unthinkable thinking that I'm bringing into the equation tonight that I really didn't have when we did this several years ago, Stu. So I wanted to share that with everybody there before we kind of jump into the you know, come some of the details and flesh them out.
You know, are we waiting for life for those things to happen, or are we actually manifesting them and creating them in our life, intentionally creating something I need to sacrifice, something I need to pull out of the one strand that doesn't feed me anymore? It was there for a purpose, but I'm going to sacrifice that and put something new in very intentionally.
Wow. Well, just try using the rope, right? Using the strand. If it sits in a little coil in a drawer or in a container, guess what? Probably, you know, it might shred over time because of misuse or is, you know, but
atrophy.
Yeah, that's right. But it's not going to be stressed and strained and stretched and used well, you know. So all kinds of pictures we can come up with there, isn't there? Great. All right. Well, how about this? Let's just kind of take that setup that Stu and we all really kind of read some of the excerpts from. So we thought we'd just take each one of those sentences, if you will, or thoughts, and break it down a little bit and maybe introduce for you some possibly unthinkable perspectives on each of these. Yeah. So get your notebook out. You know, maybe there'll be some good nuggets there. So let's start with the first sentence. And it said, can we acknowledge that unraveling, breaking, and cracking is a bearer of truth, first of all, and maybe even a gift.
Yes.
We got a vote of yes from the Rev. Okay, he's in. Oh, man. Unraveling, breaking, and cracking could bring new truth into your life.
If we look at every circumstance of our life, every person, every downtime as a teacher, mm-hmm. it's bringing me something. It's a message. I'm going to make this mean something to learn, to grow into, to become. I think, yeah, the absolutely, everything brings a gift, but sometimes we just don't have the eyes to see it or the ears to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You flip that switch again. All right, this is happening to me. There's got to be a gift here.
Right. Right. And again, we're not trying to, I think as I said in the beginning, we're not trying to paint life only in rainbows and unicorns, right? And yet, when the junkola happens, when the stuff happens, when the garbage happens, nobody's minimizing that necessarily, but we're just saying it's up to us to frame it in a way that we can learn from, like the Rev says.
One of the best things a minister ever said to me when I was going through a really tough time, he said, "This sucks." Yeah, right. Let's acknowledge it's this human experience really sucks. Now let's get about the business. He said, "Let's go to the upper room and let's make it. Let's take whatever is what is and make what can be out of it.
Get it to unsuck." Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Okay. So truth. And when you look, to me, I look at it, if it's bringing truth into my life, that is an automatic gift. You know, it's a gift from the divine of enlightenment, of revelation. And it might come from another individual, you know, it might not. It might come through, you know, a consciousness. There's all kinds of ways that the truth can be brought and born and it can be gifted to us. So keep your antennas up, right?
I mean, everything you just never that's know. Happening to you has truth, has right. a gift for it. You right. either see it or you don't. Wake up, keep your eyes open, and look for the pony in the pile of shit.
Right. Okay, there it is. No, we're not sending you a pony if you ask us. That's not happening.
No free giveaways today.
No. Okay.
Let's look at the next part. Perhaps the Spirit has been nudging and calling us to embrace a new imagination, but the other one had to unravel for us to see it for what it was. In this sense, maybe the malaise in our lives has been the work of God.
Now, see, there to me is an unthinkable thought. Okay, that, you know, sometimes we get apathetic, sometimes whatever, for whatever reason, we're worn out, we're tired, we got life, we're going Mach 6 with our hair on fire all the time, or we just don't care, you know, it's just trying to keep the wheels on. A lot of times we look at that and we can feel like we're, you know, again, we're just kind of shitty, but maybe there's a whole process involved in there that is just preparing us. I think we did a meme, Stu, that you had sent me the thing that said, you know, sometimes God pulls us back in order to project us into something new and greater, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was like imagery of like pulling back on a bow.
Bow, yeah.
Right? And then firing the arrow off forward.
Yeah.
Somebody once said, I don't know who was it said it, there's a quote, but it said, you know, I was complaining about the rattling of my cage, and I complained to God about it only to realize God was the one rattling the cage. He was shaking my world to say, wake up, stay awake.
Right. Oh, yeah. I like that.
What really stands out in this one to me is the unraveling part. I mean, most of us try to avoid the unraveling in our lives, right? And sometimes when you do that, they happen anyway.
Right.
Right? So, and for me, the biggest unraveling I've probably had in my life was when my first wife left me and I got a Dear John letter.
Right.
I mean, you talk about being unraveled. I had no idea. And it unraveled the core of my being, and my spirit was way down. But here's what happened. At the beginning of this sentence was, perhaps the Spirit has been nudging and calling us to embrace a new imagination. I had no idea that was happening. And only years later, I can tell you that it did, because here's what I did. I went inside myself. I looked internal instead of blaming and pointing the finger. I said, okay, what is it about me that had her feel the need to leave in the way that she did. So I literally got a Dear John letter.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yes.
So yeah. What's funny about that, Rogers, is I go by Coach Stu, but my real name is John. So,
so that, he got one literally and literally.
I really got it. So the way it looked for me was to embrace the new imagination was I started exploring who I am. And I had to find out who I was and how I was going to be in the world. And so that kind of looked like this. Like I started going, reading personal growth books. I went to seminars. I was like a workshop junkie. Like every weekend I was going, I was talking to people, anybody that would have a conversation with me. I was just trying to figure out, you know, this thing that was called John. What's interesting about this story and how this unraveling works and where it can take you is about a year later, she came back to me and she said, you know, I'd like to like re-explore our relationship. And I'll never forget it because I remember chuckling and looking at her and say, okay, but let me tell you something. Like, you need to get to know me again.
Yeah.
Like, I am different now than I was a year ago because everything that I did, because my life got unraveled. Now I'm somebody entirely different and new. And we gave it a shot and it, you know, it didn't work out. I found out that I just wasn't interested in that relationship and I moved on, you know, I never would have said that the year before.
Right.
You know, so this can be a very scary thing. And for a lot of people that happening to you, especially when you don't want it, is a scary thing happens in your life. And in the moment, there's no way I would have ever been speaking like I am right now.
Well,
I mean, this is only years later that I'm like, okay,
it's been a while.
Now I see. So like, I strive in my life to get there quicker.
Right.
So I can just get to the part where I'm embracing the new imagination, the new me, the new whatever it is. I want to get there as fast as I can. So now when things start to unravel, I'm like, okay, let's go. Mm. Like, this is where Coach Stu comes out. Yeah. Like, all right, let's do it.
No
let's
pain, no gain.
So, he's lifting.
So this part of what Richard Rohr was saying really like probably struck home more than anything else. Uh-huh.
Well, give credit where credit's due, man. You, the pain drove you someplace and you couldn't go back together because you'd become more of who you were meant to be. You weren't the same man again, but you took the pain. I know people that just grovel in their pain. I was terrible, was awful, the darkness. She's this, she's that. And they just live in depression the rest of their life. You were a bigger man than that. And you were driven internally to a presence that's more of you. Call it God, call it the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you call it. You found it. Would you have done that if you'd not had the pain? Would you have gone there and gone to all those workshops and learned about yourself had you not been brought to your knees?
Yeah.
I think you can say no.
Probably, yeah, probably no. Probably no.
Thank exactly. Well, time to say thank God then. Yeah. Then Coach Stu became Coach Stu because he got kicked around a little.
Yeah. Well, even, you know, to your point, even after that, and I knew that that was happening, I would still get these nudges, I'll call them, from the Holy Spirit, you know, from, you know, the universe out there. And I still was ignoring them. I mean, I was stiff-arming them. I was like, yeah, okay, I know you want me to go there, but nah, we're going to hold off.
That's not God.
No crucifixions today.
Right, yeah. Well, so, I mean, learning to be able to embrace that and
recognize it. Right, that's another key.
That was all part of my training.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I feel, you know, you're training every day. You're practicing every day in my mind.
Well, when we did this too, what drew us to this particular meditation from Rohr was in those times we were very focused on the concept of wisdom and what did that look like and what did that mean, and what you're really talking about is you're growing in wisdom, you know, through a lot of this journey. And the other distinction here before we move on, just real quick, there's a difference, I think anyway, between broken and unraveling. To me, unraveling, if you've ever played baseball, you know, and you only had just like the one ball, man, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and you hit the literal cover off the thing because you use it so much time, then it's wrapped in the string. You know, you can play with that ball and it gradually unravels over time. until you can't hit it anymore and you go, oh, what the heck happened? You know, I mean, in other words, it can be a way more subtle. Unraveling can happen in a more subtle way to where you get, it gets, it erodes you, it erodes your energy, it erodes your, you know, your countenance, everything. And it's so subtle, you just kind of, sometimes you don't even notice it until maybe a brokenness comes in to have the, you know, the grand finale or something.
The straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, right. That thing, that last thing that kind of comes in. So it's about getting your antennas up as well as you start to look behind you and you see this little thread trailing. You know, maybe it might be a good idea at least to start thinking about what's going on as opposed to just ignoring it.
Well, so, how about be intentional about it?
Yeah.
Every day, get up and what am I going to peel back today? A little more of me is going to be seen today. So I'm intentionally unraveling myself. So when things hit, I've got a bank account because I purposely allowed myself to shine a little brighter,
to be great.
A little bit more open, a little bit more vulnerable. And so when I'm intentionally unraveling, it's not a big deal when the crisis hits.
Right. Right. Well, that's, I think that's something else too, is just saying that you prepare yourself now to where you minimize those downtimes or those shocks, that you recognize them quicker.
Get there quicker.
Yeah.
Get there quicker.
Yep. Yeah, that's great.
So one more story. Can I tell another story?
Yeah.
I love your story. I think the Rogers are going to love this. So I spent with my family living 1 year in Costa Rica in the rainforest. Like, it was literally an hour drive on dirt roads to get where I lived. It was amazing. And just, I mean, we could do a whole episode on that whole experience. But the one thing I want to get to is there was a lot of surfing going on where I was. And so I became a surfer and I got to know a lot of surfers. And here's something that I love about surfers that I wish everybody, and I hope everybody could grasp this and can really feel what I'm about to explain to you. So when you surf, you get on your board, on your belly, you got to go out beyond the waves so you can take the wave in, right? So as you're going out, and you've seen this, laying on your belly, you got your arms in the water and you're stroking and you're going, and here's the waves coming in. You got to get past them, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll see people that are new to surfing, they're going towards the wave, like, oh, here comes a wave, and they start turning their board and they get clobbered, then boom, 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 they're back on the shore. And you see this happening over and over and over because we don't learn as human beings, right? We got to keep doing it. We got to keep getting bashed and back. So then I did this. I'm not going to say I didn't. So then I started watching the surfers, and this is what I noticed. I saw big waves come. I'm like, oh my gosh, they are going to get clobbered. And here's what I saw: them grabbing on the front of the board, looking at that wave, diving straight into it, coming out the other side, and swim beyond the wave, right? And so I went, you know, when you're surfing and you're out there, you just really, there's a lot that strikes you that, you know, doesn't typically strike you when there's all this noise around. So right. I'm out there in the water and I'm sitting, I finally learned, I did what they did. I got out there and I'm looking back at the shore and I'm seeing all the waves going in front of me. And I'm like, wow, like this is like kind of approaching any situation that comes to you in life, right? Like if you try to turn and run from it, you get clobbered, boom, 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 boom. You're back to the shore. You're back to the beginning.
And not feeling
very
good
either.
And
then you got to go back out there again, right?
But here's
the thing. If you just grab a hold of that board, you grab tight, and you just take it on, head on, you dive straight in and come out the other side, it is so easy. It is so easy, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends in Santa Cruz, California, and, you know, they're like, hey, man, become one with the wave. You know, that's what they're doing.
This
you become
is what
one
they
with
mean.
The wave. And so, can you be one with the disruption? Can I be one with the crisis to know it's a divine appointment? I'm about to be more. I'm about to surf something I've never even thought of. I love the surfing analogy. It's the same analogy when they teach your driver's ed, turn in the direction of the skid. It's counterintuitive to the human ego. No, turn in the direction of the skid. You'll get control back. When you try to avoid it, you're going to crash.
Yeah.
When you're going to just like the wave.
Well, you got to
become one with the waves, dude.
Can become, hang 10, dude. Yeah, face your fears. And it's beautiful on the other side of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really is. And it's easy. Yeah. It's so much easier to do that.
To fight it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean you're not scared, you know. Yeah. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Well, with that, I think what we'll do is we'll cue the Beach Boys, all right, right now, with a little music, and then we'll ponder that a little bit, and we'll take a little break, and then we'll be right back. Take care.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. Now, let's get back to Going Rogue.
All right. Welcome back to Going Rogue, where we're talking about unleashing the unthinkable ideas that are around unraveling, breaking, and cracking, and how we look at those things as they happen in our life. So we're going to kind of go down that the sort of list, if you will, that the Rohr meditation had given us. And the next one comes in that says, maybe this is an unthinkable thought that says, instead of looking at us or ourselves as broken, the brokenness, maybe what we're doing is breaking away. Almost like an Antarctica, maybe an iceberg breaks off the big normal big piece of ice that's just pretty mundane, just there, and now it gets to float in the ocean independent, right, on its own journey, and see what's out there that you never could have seen attached to the big piece of ice. I don't know. That's just kind of the thing that came to my mind. But instead of broken, maybe it's breaking away. Breaking away from what?
The old me. I've got to sacrifice the old me for the new me to emerge, to become.
Yeah.
So, and it's difficult because it's like, I can only define myself a certain way. I've got to let go of that old definition so a new one can emerge. And that can be difficult, scary, and painful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A new you. Breaking away from the herd. Breaking away from the norm. Breaking away from some of your biases and some of your worldview. That's not easy, like the Rev says. Those things don't just come usually by somebody going, I just think I'm going to think differently today. I mean, most of the time there's an impetus somewhere there that kind of compels us and impels us out there where we wouldn't have.
Now, human nature says we would fight changing our thoughts.
Right.
You know, I mean, even if you're someone that is comfortable doing this, you still might fight it. But think about this, breaking away from, let's just say, a certain season in life where you have certain people around you. Maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah, great. You know, that's a good, and yeah, I love that.
It's just time. And and if you're saying now it's time, it was probably time a long time
exactly.
ago.
Exactly.
Right? But to me, the breaking away of thoughts, and I don't know if this is just me, but that doesn't seem as confronting as breaking away from those people or that
circumstance.
Person. And I've had this happen in my life, right? Yeah. I had to just not let people go out of my consciousness, but just I'm not spending as much time with them. It's not where I need to be, or it's not good for me, it's not good for them, et cetera. Like those, right. That's hard to do.
Everybody in your life is either an elevator button down or an elevator button up. And you have to come to the place where you go, this person is an anchor in my life. It's keeping me stuck. The thinking in this relationship is keeping me stuck. And sometimes you just grow beyond that relationship. It was there for a reason or a season, and it's time to move on.
Right.
And here's the elevated right. thinking, Rev.
Yeah.
You also could be holding them back.
You bet.
And what? How wonderful! How wonderful is it if you're able to
win-win,
see that,
yeah.
and be able to make a decision without having them feel bad about it? You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like you just do it. Like you see this in movies all the time, right? People doing this.
Yeah.
But doing it in real life, that would be a hard thing to do. Like I gotta pull out because you gotta go someplace. I just can't go with you, and I'm right. holding you back.
Yeah.
You know,
love you, but
yeah,
bye. Yeah.
Again, I'm really grateful for some people that kind of had that epiphany. It's like we need to part company, and my life became more because they had the guts and the courage to say, "Let's part company."
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I'm thankful for them. Wow. I don't curse them.
Yeah.
It was not easy, but man, I became more me. They became more of them, and the world was a better place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to get out my notepad. This is awesome. I love it.
Let me just make it clear. Yeah. We are not telling anybody to get rid of any relationships.
No, right.
This is just...
We're going to be hearing from the lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if your name is John.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Just for keep that sure.
No dear John letters right. here today.
Yes, none of that. All none right. of that.
Good.
All right. So here's another thought. A life humbled by disruption and decline may be less arrogant and presumptuous.
Oh.
Knock me off my pedestal.
Wow. You know, I mean, think about that.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't typically look in the mirror and say, whoa, how arrogant and presumptuous am I? I mean, it's very difficult for us to analyze and see that necessarily, I think, in ourselves. We love to point the finger at other people and call them that or see that in them. But once your life is disrupted, now all of a sudden something's different. Something changed, and it might be, and then it causes your gaze to go just 10 degrees a different way. You're going to see things that you've never seen before, or you're going to see them in a different way. And sometimes it's a decline. Sometimes it's simply just a disruption. But whatever it is different, right?
What you're saying is this requires spiritual maturity. Every circumstance, everyone, no exception, is holding a mirror up to you. Mm-hmm. There's something to learn about yourself, something to look at in yourself. That those are the people that learn and grow. The ones that are just angry and mad never go anywhere. They're right. stagnant.
Ooh, ouch.
I get to look at my own arrogance. I get to look at my own. I'm so puffed up that, somebody had the guts and the courage to call me out on it.
Yeah.
And why does it hurt so much? You know, Alan Cohen says it's not the insult that bothers us. It's the part of us that agrees with the insult that hurts so bad.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a filter. It goes through between the ears, right? Wow. Very cool. Yeah. So, another key word there is too, when was the last time any of you were humble? By some circumstance, something, maybe even someone. And you know, it could be a beautiful humility where you see the grandeur maybe of God or something bigger than you, and you're just humbled by that. But, you know, there's also the other kind of, you know, humbling that can come with just being knocked down a peg or two, a notch or two because of something that you did or something that you said. Relationally or whatever. I mean, it happens all kinds of ways, but humility, you know, how do we deal with humility? Are we even consider ourselves humble? And there's another spiritual maturity thing, just like the Rev was talking about.
Yeah, if I'm really actively and sincerely looking for the face of God in every situation and circumstance, I'm going to be humbled every day. Right. I think, let that growth be an ongoing process, not an event. You know, so my growth is not something that happens once or twice in my life. It's an ongoing commitment to finding God and realizing how small my problems are, how small my concerns and my worries are. Go, yeah, I get humbled by that.
Yeah.
And I don't take life so seriously. And those looking for God will find God. Hmm. Those looking for a reason to be angry are going to find a reason to be angry.
Yeah, we'll find it, right? Yeah, we're good at that. I think I did a meme that said, you know, makes the whole, if you look out, make the whole holy. Yeah. Mm. It's a different phrase. It's just a different way to look at things, isn't it?
Am I looking for someone to validate my greatness? Uh-huh. Or am I looking for a reason to validate oneness? Uh-huh. And I tell you, that's really a big shift in the mind that makes those difficult moments much easier to swallow.
Yes,
you know, they
say
the truth will set you free, but first it's going to really tick you off.
Yeah, right. I think we did the meme and it said piss you off, right? Let's go ahead and we'll go there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, humbled by these things. I think a lot of times it happens. How are you going to react to that? That's a big key. How about this one? You know, by this unraveling, by this breaking, we may have fewer illusions about our own power and centrality or narcissism, or it's all about who? Me.
Wait a minute, the world doesn't revolve around me?
Yeah. No.
Thank God, we'd all be in big trouble.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Oh, man, if it was all about me, we're in deep, deep you-know-what doo-doo. So fewer, and here's a cool word I love too, illusions. How many illusions do we necessarily have about our own not on top of physical strength, but our strength, our prowess, our power, you know, the fact that I am so important in this scenario, whatever that might mean. I mean, whatever scenario we're talking about, right? The Rev said the oneness, it's huge. Right?
I love in the 12 steps when it talks about one of the steps, you know, I had to come to the awareness that I was powerless in and of myself. And that's when you find the face of God, you find the light of God, not only around your world, but within you. But I have to come to the conclusion that I'm kind of insignificant and powerless, but I'm the most powerful force on the planet when I unite with something beyond this world.
Well, that to me, that's one of my guiding principles right there, that we have access to the greatest power in the universe. God's given it to us. You know, we have that ability to say, you know, like we were talking, it's not all, I don't want it to be all about me. I don't want it to be about what I can conceive and what I can think of and the limit to what my thinking is. That the Spirit of God, however that frames in your life, is the most, again, the most enlightening creative power in the universe. Why in the world don't I want to kind of tap into that a little bit?
Get out of my personality and get into the individual way that God chose to express as me.
Yeah.
Boy, the personality has to get set aside.
Right.
The ego has to get put on the shelf. But look at the things you do, the amazing things you do. My life has been one example after another of my personality being humbled, brought to my knees so that I could find God and remember, oh yeah, there's something higher working here.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
So let me ask you, has this ever happened when you've been unraveled or broken or cracked? These words seem so harsh.
Blown up.
Have you ever became more curious? I mean, I know I have.
Yeah.
For sure. This I already explained when my first wife left. I became very curious about.
Curious about what?
About, you know, who am I? About me, you know, and just learning more about myself. And that was the exploration I went on.
Right.
I went on a journey to find that out.
Well, here's when I hear the word curious, I love how it fleshed itself out in your lives too. I think another place that we default to when I think about that word is we want to ask the why. You know, something happens, whatever again it might be, and we want to go, why? Why me? Why him, her, she? Why them? What's the deal? It's the whole, you know, why does God allow bad things to happen, period? And then it starts to get more specific about, then you can say, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Because they're supposed to happen to bad people, right? But, you know, I mean, we have this big questioning, and now, and in that questioning, where it started, you know, way, way, way long time ago, was the natural forces. You know, why does the sun rise? Why does the sun set? Why does the moon rise? Why does the rain come? I mean, it was all these natural events that people tried to answer. There was the why behind it, and enter one of our most, you know, favorite things is religion. You know, in general, religion was created to help us explain the unexplainable that we couldn't wrap our head around.
You know, I would say the quality of the question will determine the quality of the experience. Why is a really dangerous question that leads to suffering, because sometimes it's just unanswerable.
Right.
You know, a coach might never know why his wife wrote the Dear John letter. He asked the better questions. Questions like, who am I called to be with this, I like to say, the whale that's washed up on my beach? What is mine to do with this pain or this difficulty or this circumstances? Those are much better questions, because
agreed,
you can answer those.
Yep.
Why is just going to keep you in a circle. And I know victims who've lived their whole life trying to answer why that never do anything good for the planet. Who am I called to be? What is mine to do? Boy, stuff gets done and growth happens and good things transpire.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, so that sneaky proverbial why, okay? Just be careful with it, you know? So we may become more curious for sure, but how about this? When we're, again, as Stu is saying, is we're unraveled, if we're exposed, we're vulnerable, maybe we're listening to this spirit that we've been talking about, to something outside of ourself that comes in now and enhances us, and we get more creative. about that, looking at mm-hmm. these experiences as an impetus for creativity. Is that an unthinkable thought?
You know, my friends who play jazz music, you know, they say the definition of jazz is if you hit a wrong note, go back and hit it four or five more times, and then it's supposed to be there.
Of course.
Use it. Get creative. Right. And some of the best chords were built out of a mistake.
That's right.
Oh, there it is.
So true. That is so true.
Curiosity. I mean, to me, and creativeness, they kind of just go right together. But if you think about, we've talked about on this podcast before, the characters of God, who is God? What is God like? You know, those kinds of questions. And one of the things that I remember we talked about was that if God is nothing else other than creative, then we've hit the mark. I mean, that is the essence, in my opinion, one of God's characteristics of creativity. Everything you see around us, everything in the universe was created by the thought of God and then implemented into a manifestation. So, you know, maybe it helps us see God better, and in that, we get more creative. You know, I mean, again, so you might be looking for, okay, well, I need inspiration in order to write this paper for whatever, whatever. Maybe that's not where you need to go. Maybe that's the fruit of just going back over here and looking to connect in a more deep way with the Spirit that will then produce more creativity.
So if you remember when we first started reading from Richard Rohr's Daily Meditation, what was said is that that unraveling, breaking, and cracking is a bearer of truth and even a gift.
Gift.
Right?
Yep.
So creativity is such a gift.
Right.
Even curiosity, the one before this, but creativity especially is such a gift.
I look at my painter friends. You talk to them. You have to have shadow in the painting for it to come to life.
Hmm.
You have to have the shadowing, the texture, the darkness to create some contrast.
Yeah.
And I've seen a painter take a little bit of black paint, throw it on the canvas, and suddenly the picture comes to life.
Huh.
Is it that God has brought those moments? This kind of can sound like predestination. I don't really believe in that. But is it possible that God has actually brought to the altar of me a little bit of darkness to give more texture, creativity to my own life, that I come to life because of the shadowing?
Wow, I love that. Although I got a Bob Ross wig upstairs for you, Rev.
Okay, that makes me think. That.
I love it. Bob Ross. He takes that dark paint and suddenly that line becomes a tree. How does he do that?
I don't have any idea.
Maybe a little dark paint makes me become me.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So guys, I want to drop the anvil with this one.
Uh-oh.
Not even like a hammer or a stone. Just dropping the anvil.
Okay.
We may be less willing to ally with the empires and powers that have long defined us.
Oh, oh man.
That's like going rogue.
Whoa. There's a steamroller. Yeah, right there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Empires and powers that are not just there, but they've defined us. Mm,
that's the scary part.
Oh, yeah. Think about that. Where does... Like what? Right? That would be the question I would say.
The systems and the programs and the beliefs. We get to the edge, and we're always, inevitably, if we're growing, we're going to come to the edge of the empire I've built, that is my life, go, it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
I cannot ally with what I was thinking yesterday. It doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And so, you know, the systems and programs and the empires are internal as well as external.
Oh, very good point. That's the thing. Okay, hold on. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
They're internal as much as external.
I'm running a system and a program on the inside that sometimes could be labeled an empire.
Yeah.
And maybe it needs to come down. Let the walls come a-tumbling down.
Well, I think that goes back to our arrogance and presumptuousness that we talked about already in an earlier one. I mean, those all feed in to that, as well as our allegiance out there to the empire. Right, to the empire and powers. And a lot of times what happens there that I see is we just stop thinking. We just stop thinking, okay? It's way easier to just flow right in with what everybody else is thinking.
The way I've had that happen in my life is I became robotic. So the way I grew up religiously and spiritually was very much based on guilt. I was always doing something wrong. I couldn't do anything right. I had to constantly go and profess my sins so I could do something for them to be forgiven. You know, it was, I mean, it was just, and I remember what it felt like. It was like, I can't do anything, right? So I'm just going to go have fun. I know I can go to confession and I'll say, hey, I did all these things. They'll say, hey, go say some Our Fathers and Hail Marys. I'm like, yeah, I'm good to go again for this week.
Thank you, God, for letting me be back.
Thank you. I used to love that. Yeah. Like in the beginning, I was afraid of it. And I'm like, oh man, I don't want to go tell them. But now I was like, hey, this is great. I can go do whatever I want. But I mean, that defined me for so long, such a long time. And I couldn't break out of it. And when I finally did, it felt glorious. And you know, I couldn't ask any questions because you ask a question and that was like not right. I mean, it was like,
now you're messing with the empire of organized religion and probably the most powerful religion on the planet.
Yeah, I get it. That's I an get empire. It. I'm intentionally not saying the word, not naming it because I don't want anybody showing up at my door.
I don't want any lightning bolts coming down.
But again, these are unthinkable thoughts. These are things that we're trying to introduce here that, had you ever thought of it that way? Is that unthinkable for you? Have you ever pondered the possibility that so-and-so or such might be an empire or a power in your life? I don't know. I mean, again, we're just interjecting some of this into the equation for you to ponder.
And here's the thing, Mac, you may not even know. You may not realize it. I use the word robotic because I was basically a robot back then. And so you may not realize it until you break free from that.
Right. No, I think that's that whole, I've unraveled now. I've exposed a part of myself that it was been covered up for a long time. And that may be some clouded thinking that got unraveled. How about that?
So channel your inner Martin Luther and be willing to challenge the empires of what they told you the truth was. Maybe it isn't the truth. Maybe it was just a stepping stone to a greater truth.
There it is. Okay. And so that truth, as we kind of wrap this episode up, in that revelation of truth, maybe we might finally admit how much we need the true power and wisdom of the Spirit. Okay, I'll just kind of call it that at this point, because that may be a life that God can work with, to cultivate that oneness with the Spirit, right? As Paul says, be animated and directed by the Spirit. Then so much, many other things kind of fall into place.
Be conscious and purposeful about that every morning when you get up, every night when you go to bed.
Yeah.
Right. Use me exactly. For something great and wonderful.
So thank you, Richard Rohr, right? From years ago. He's one of our favorite guys anyway. We still listen and watch him, and we get his dailies all the time, you know? But this was particularly poignant for us in those days when we did it first, and now again today. I think it's just as valuable without a doubt, and just as meaningful. And
thanks for bringing the crackpot into the discussion.
The crackpot. Well, I see a little gold there, though. I see a little gold.
Oh, there's a lot of gold, baby. Yeah, but I'm not going to get too pumped up.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to close this out. Yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah.
No, I'm going to close this out. It's just I want this rogue nation to grow and to become more and more and more. And I'm challenging you. I'm actually challenging you to invite. So if you like what we're talking about, if you like what we're saying, if you like kind of going to the edge and being unthinkable, invite somebody.
Yeah.
Invite somebody into the dialogue and the discussion and let your voice be heard. See what their opinion is. We want to know from you how this is impacting your heart, your life, and your mind.
Yeah.
And so that's I'm throwing the gauntlet down and inviting you to join us on the mat, to use a wrestling term. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Appreciate Surfer Stu today. That was awesome, man. Good stuff.
Hang 10.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. We appreciate you listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Go unravel.
Wow, you made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to Unraveling, where we expanded on one of our favorite Richard Rohr nuggets and offered some alternative perspectives when our lives start to unravel. Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information. See the show notes for any links to episode content, and join us in the ongoing cafe conversation where every week we post some thought-provoking questions for your own roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us and like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. And that is, if you dare.